Coach, let's talk about some of the things you had to go through yesterday. I know you didn't get the win, but you had to go through a lot just to get in position at the end of the game offensively. The players you lost throughout the course of the game, what were some of the conversations you were having on the sideline trying to get everything organized?
Yeah, it was a tough day. I mean, we lost. No excuse. You know, we still got to find a way to win, but we did lose, I think, six or seven guys on offense and, you know, a lot of skill guys. So, you know, basically the conversations are, especially when it happened in the first half, it's very quickly having to kind of, you know, reconfigure some personnel groupings and, you know, hey, when we call it this, that means you're this and you're that. You know, they identify themselves by what we call personnel-wise. Mm-hmm. So we had to make up two personnel groupings during the game and basically get Andre Ellington where he was, you know, supposed to be relative to that personnel grouping, even though he hadn't practiced that position at all. So that's kind of the way it is in the NFL when there's a spate of injuries like that. But that's the, for me, that's the first time I've ever gone through that, to be honest with you.
Had you ever done anything like that, Bill, where you, and I heard you say this earlier, where you came up with a personnel grouping that actually fit what you had? I mean, at some point, Chris went into the locker room, Chris Thompson, you literally had one wide receiver for the last, what, 5 minutes of the half?
Yeah, no, I never had to do that. But, you know, if I called this personnel grouping and we didn't have that, nobody would have known what to do. So we had to give it a name where, okay, now these guys know, okay, when he calls this, I know I'm this position, whether it's Slade at a big tight end or, you know, Steven Anderson in there at a certain position or Andre Ellington. So it was kind of, you know, we had to assistant coaches did a good job. Johnny Perry, Charles London, Timmy Kelly, Sean Ryan, you know, obviously Dev, they all did a great job of helping me with that.
To that end, we talk about this a lot, the game operation. Had you not known all that was going on, I don't know that anybody would have recognized what you guys were really going through. Because I don't remember you having delay of games. I don't remember you having anything that would have slowed the operation down, of course, until the very, very end. But it didn't look like that at all to the naked eye if you didn't know.
You would know because you know football. Yeah. I appreciate you noticing that, to be honest with you, Johnny, because, you know, that kind of, in football terms, that's a compliment. You know, that's you know, one of the things we had to do was kind of change up how we ran certain plays and make it into where Ellington and Anderson could be in there to run those plays that we had practiced so that at least Tom knew relative to what I was telling him in the helmet, okay, hey, it's going to be this, but this is the way we're going to have to run it. And he was like, boom, and give credit to Tom Savage. That's where credit should go to because he's a smart guy and he got it all lined up for us out on the field. But, yeah, you're right. It was pretty seamless. I think we had one – I don't know if we had – yeah, we had one delay, but maybe I called a timeout right at the last second and got it, but got the timeout. But, yeah, no, we I thought the players and the coaches did a good job.
Well, Ellington was active, and he was busy on the first drive. First catch of the game was his. Then he had that 20-plus yard play down the sideline. But I got to imagine you didn't have a whole lot of plays in there for Ellington, and he ends up having to play a whole lot at wide receiver, basically, right? I mean, wasn't it a different position almost entirely from what he's used to?
Yeah, he played – you know, we just got him from Arizona last week, and they put him in the slot. And I mean, we played him at running back during the week, and then we had to put him in the slot on Sunday. So, you know, it was interesting. You know, and he did a good job. I mean, he'd never played in the slot for us, and he did a good job. You know, Tom helped line him up. Johnny Perry was telling him from the sideline kind of what to do a little bit, and, you know, Tom would help him. Hop was helping him when he was on the same side. So I thought Dre kind of helped us out of a pinch there.
All things considered, how long would it take someone to learn your offense? All things considered, like all they did was just – they didn't even go to practice. They just looked at your playbook. How long do you think it would take them to master it?
Yeah, see, I think people – there's a misnomer about – first of all, it's not my offense. I mean, it's a – if anybody ever wanted to spend about a week with me, I would tell you the history of the offense. I mean, the offense was derived basically from what they did in the New York Giants back in the – early 80s. You know, Ron Earhart was the coordinator for Parcells. It was his offense. Then obviously, you know, when they went to New England with Parcells, you know, Charlie Weiss ran it. Then Bill Belichick, obviously, with Charlie Weiss, Josh McDaniels, myself, and we all put our little, you know, whatever our spin on it. Now, and you know, some of my spin is maybe some of the things I did in college or at other places I've been, but that's the – and the point is, like, it's really not that hard to learn. there's one section of the playbook called the basic information section. So when a player comes in, offensive lineman, wide receiver, hey, learn this section,
right,
and everything else is easy, if that makes sense. Because that's, you know, how we call plays, how we call formations, how we call personnel groupings, motion, shifts. And once you know that, everything else is pretty easy.
Yeah.
So I think that and plus we do a lot of one-word things now based on our no huddle, which these guys love.
Yeah.
You know, they love the one-word stuff. So, hey, this word means everything. They love that. You know, so I don't think it's that hard, and I think you can teach a player pretty quickly how to learn it.
What about the offensive line yesterday, Coach? Jeff Allen moves over to left tackle. I know that last series wasn't so good with the false starts, yeah, and everything, but up until that point, it looked like you had some sort of continuity going throughout the course of the game anyway.
Yeah, he did a really good job. I thought Jeff did a good job. The false starts weren't necessarily his fault. I know it looks like it's his fault, mm-hmm, but a lot of that's on just basically deciding whether to go to a silent cadence or not. That's on me. You know, we've got to coach that better. Crowd was pretty loud at that point. We're trying to be verbal. Should have probably been silent. But anyways, I don't put that on Jeff too much, you know. Mm-hmm. I thought Xavier really played one of his more physical games. I thought Nick played a solid game. I thought Greg Mance filled in pretty well on the right side. And I thought Breno played his usual, you know, tough man, kind of like bar bouncer game. I love Breno, man. Breno's one of my favorite players of all time.
Yeah.
I'm sure that doesn't come shocking to you, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so I thought those guys did a good job, and it was a good day for them. They gave Thompson time to throw, and he was able to complete some passes. In the end, we didn't win, but there were some bright spots.
Coach, when you go from 4th-and-4 to 4th-and-9 to 4th-and-14 to 4th-and-19, you have a different play call for every single one of them?
You know, it's funny. I kept the same call for every one of them, to be honest. Well, not the 4th-and-4.
Right.
I had a different call for 4th-and-4, but once it went to 9, then to 14, then to 19, it was the same. I mean, it didn't matter because you
right.
had to get past the –
Yeah, yeah.
The sticks, and the route that I had was basically a 4-vertical route that was going to be able to get past the sticks. And Steven and Tom, they did a great job on that play. That was an unbelievable play to get that on 4th-and-19.
So to get that ball where he got it into, did you think he had it right away when he got that ball there?
I wasn't sure. Timmy Kelly said he thought he caught it, but I didn't have a good view of it. You're talking about the
4th-and-19
catch.
Yeah, actually, no. Both of them. Both of his catches had to go up for review.
Yeah,
it was
in between two defenders on that 4th-and-19, so I didn't really see it, but made a great catch. Steven had a hell of a game. He played a good game.
How much has he progressed
yeah.
since he's been here? I heard you say this is maybe the best game he's played.
Yeah, I thought it was. I mean, he's progressed a lot. We have a lot of respect for Steven. He's a very smart guy. He's he's just very good at what he does. You know, he studies. He's got a good skill set for what we're asking him to do. He's kind of a tweener type player. He can play receiver. He can play sub tight end. He can do some different things. He's tough. You know, he can block a little bit for you, depending on who he's having to block. But, we really like Steven.
All right, not saying you're going to have to do this, but you got a couple of tight ends on the practice squad. So tell us about them, Michael Pruitt and also Ryan Malik.
Yeah, no, I like both those guys. Pruitt's been with us a little bit longer than Malik, but I like Pruitt. I think you can use Pruitt in a lot of different ways. Not going to give you all the details on that in mm-hmm. case we bring him up. But,
right.
I think he can block. I think he can run some routes. I think he's very competitive. He's got good playing strength, kind of like some of the things he does. Malik just got here. Like him mm-hmm. so far. Pretty athletic. Got good hands. Continue to evaluate him. But I like both those guys.
And you do have some options anyway. You have Steven still. It's not
yep.
like the Bengals game. If
right.
it comes to that. And you have the 6 offensive lineman possibility.
Yeah, that's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to sit down here this afternoon and kind of figure it out. But, I thought Slade did some nice things on the edge there at tight end when we brought him in. We have that still available to us. We'll figure it out. We'll figure out a way to move the ball.
We talked about Tom a little bit. You kind of referred to him. But when you had a chance to go back and look at the film, Coach, did it match up how you felt the way that he played with everything that he had to go through with? There was a series with one wide receiver and hardly anybody else. Then there were two wide receivers and hardly anybody else. When you went back and looked at it, what did you see from Tom after you watched it today?
I thought he played his best game, Johnny. I mean, you know, I wish that end, you know, he probably wishes he had that play back. I wish I had that play call back. You know, we're just trying to get a ball into the end zone. Didn't work out very well. But I thought overall he played a gutsy, tough game, made some big-time throws. I thought he anticipated better. I thought he kept plays alive better. I thought he played with a little bit more urgency, not to say that he doesn't play with urgency, but a little bit more urgency in his decision-making. And I thought that was big for us, and I thought he was well-protected quite a bit, and he was able to have some time to make some ball, you know, throw some balls down the field. And I thought he had his best game, no doubt about it.
Plus, he's got to be kind of an orchestra conductor out there, yeah. right, with the substitutions.
No question. I mean, especially with what we were having to do, he had to get everything lined up. I mean, he had a lot on his plate yesterday, and, you know, he did a really good job of all that, no doubt about it.
It looks like, to me anyway, doing what I do, he's stepping up in the pocket better. He stepped up on that 4th and 19. He's stepping up on certain throws, and he's making those throws.
Yeah, he is. I mean, I think he's stepping up a lot better. I think he's understanding, you know, that the pocket really isn't that big. You don't need to be too deep, and, you know, you need to get away from the center, but you need to be able to climb the pocket and let the tackles run those guys by. And I think he's doing a better job of that, no doubt about it.
When you look at a guy like Brady do it, he makes it look so simple.
Yeah.
Stepping up all the time. And it looks like everybody knows, all right, just push everybody to the outside, and he usually comes up. I know it's not that easy, but that's textbook stuff right there, the way to
do it. No doubt. I mean, you know, Tom's been doing it for a long time, and that's why you have to try to affect Tom up inside and into the pocket. But, yeah, there's no doubt that, you know, and we watch that. You know, we watch Tom doing it, and Tom Savage has done a much better job of that. I think that's a good observation by you. He definitely did a better job of that yesterday.
All right, about the defense yesterday quickly here, because, yeah, you suffered a lot of injuries on offense, but you're totally healthy on defense, Coach.
Yeah.
I mean, compared to the offense, we lose Jelani Jenkins and Jonathan Joseph throughout the course of the game. We already know what you don't have going into that game. But up until that last run, which was really the game was over at that point, you held them to below 270 and 17 points. That's a pretty good afternoon by your defense. You'll probably take that every week.
Yeah, no, the defense did a good job. You know, we gave up some rushing yards, but, you know, I'd say three or four runs, we gave up 80, 85 yards. The rest of it, I thought we did a pretty good job defensively on the run. And then I thought we played good pass defense. You know, we got to find a way offensively, put the ball in the end zone. I think that defensively, one thing we can try to do a better job of is trying to take the ball away. You know, we've got to try to get takeaways. We're in the lower third of the league, not lower than that, in our turnover takeaway margin. And that's something that, you know, in the past we've been up higher than that, and we've had winning seasons, because I think that's a big time stat. So I think we can do that better. But overall, I thought our guys played hard on defense, did a pretty good job.
And the one fumble you forced was punched out. Literally punched out by a running back.
Yeah.
By Alfred Blue on that punt.
Yeah.
Punched it, missed it, then came back in and ripped at it.
Yeah,
and then got it.
President was in there too, I think. President got in there too, but that was a good play.
What did you think of Jamil yesterday? Getting out there for the very first time. Guy comes off the practice squad, and he's thrown out there a lot. He was playing a lot of that ball game yesterday.
Yeah, he played good. I mean, he played tough. He's a very tough guy. I thought, you know, he set the edge pretty well. You know, I think that he did a decent job on the special teams units that he was on. I like his toughness. I think he'll get better and better the more he plays.
Zach Cunningham, we've talked about him a little bit, and you guys knew he could run. But his physical nature, I mean, he a couple times just completely stoned running backs, form tackles, straight up. I mean, I would imagine that you're getting probably more value out of him than maybe you even thought as a rookie. He's been impressive.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I mean, I didn't think, you know, just from being a rookie linebacker, I think it's hard to play. You know, Bernardrick played when he was a rookie, but, you know, early on it was a struggle, and then Bernardrick got better and better. Look at where BMAC is now.
Yeah.
Zach come in and you know, a little bit in the beginning, you know, kind of got used to the physicality of the game, but, man, he's made some plays for us. He's all over the field. He's played very physical. He's playing good on special teams. He's a good player. We're really happy that we have him, no doubt about it.
How tough is it to coach a kicker? Because it's kind of like a golf swing. You know, he's got a certain set of technical things he has to do. And how well do you know those things, really, if you haven't done it?
It's tough. I mean, you know, a lot of it, you know, I know a little bit about it. I'm not a kicking expert. You know, I talk about the plant foot and things like that, the operation, the snap, the hold, all those things. But in the end, it's a mentality, you know, and I think, you know, sometimes those guys get into a little bit of a slump. We have a lot of belief in Kaimi, and he just had a bad day. He's got a very talented leg. He'll fix it. He'll be back, and we'll count on him to make big kicks for us. There's no doubt about it.
Do you create situations in practice for him? Well, you do that anyway, probably every week, right?
We do that. We do that a lot. Maybe not as much during the regular season. You know, he gets his kicks in during the week, and he just got to keep trying to figure out what's wrong. I think, you know, some of it, you know, he's a little concerned maybe about the short side rush and try to rush it a little bit. The timing of it, again, the plant foot is big. You know, it's kind of like a golf swing. You know, it's where you're aiming, all those different things, and a lot of that's directed by that plant foot. And hopefully he can, you know, correct that, and I think he will.
Wasn't as if that grass was all that good at holding up the plant feet yesterday.
Digging up.
Good grief. There were divots the size of our heads out there.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
But speaking of kicking game, punt returns yesterday. Braxton gets that one coming back, and then he unfortunately gets hit on the sideline, which was so unfortunate because it felt like Braxton – it was almost as if the light was seemingly going on for him that day, where he was really a factor for you offensively. How big a loss was that for you, and how far has he come?
He's one of the most improved guys on our team. He's really proud of the guy. You know, he's been an active – you know, he's had to deal with injuries. He's having to deal with one right now, although I think he might be okay. But anyways, he's really come a long way, you know, as a receiver, made some big plays for us the last few weeks. Yesterday, punt return, we put him back there. I thought he did a decent job. He got tattooed on the sideline. I mean, he got hit pretty good, but overall, I thought he did a good job fielding the punt, which that was kind of his big thing, you know, just being able to field it. But, you know, he's doing a good job. He's one of them, like I said, one of the more improved guys on our team.
You came into the weekend number 7 in the league in punt return average. So that seems to be going well for you, despite not breaking big, long touchdown runs. You're getting some consistent positive yardage out of the situation.
Yeah, you know, we don't have Will back there right now, so we've used Bruce. Obviously, Bruce has been back there. Chris Thompson's been back there. Braxton been back there. You know, all those guys have the ability to break one. But they all – what they can do is be very productive in getting positive yards. That's the big thing, you know, is to be able to field it, get some good blocks from the gunners, you know, against the gunners. You know, those guys vicing the gunners, one-on-one with the gunners, those are big. And then obviously getting some good hold-up blocks inside, give you a chance to just get it started. Then if you get a 10, 12-yard return, that's big, you know. Get Will back, maybe Will can take one to the house, you know, but those guys have done a good job for us.
I know I ask you this probably once a year, and I asked Larry Izzo this as well, but just for the fans, I think it's important. Why is it so difficult for all teams to not have a flag thrown during a return? Because it just seems like it happens so often with all squads.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, they're the rules in that part of the game, yeah, it's tough. I think the officials do a good job, but there are some calls there. You know, it's a space game there, and so if your hands aren't properly placed and they're outside the framework of the body, you can get called for holding. Obviously, it's a chase game. You're chasing the guy that you have to block quite a bit, and if you tap him in the back, it's an IBAW, illegal block above the waist, you know, in the back. You know, basically what used to be clipping. Now clipping is, you know, kind of below the waist.
Right.
You know, so I think there's a lot that goes into that, and I, you know, there's not too much we can do about it right now. But some of the calls are tough, you know. But they're calling the right thing; it's by the letter of the law. But that makes it very difficult on those units, no doubt about it. But when you get a penalty like that, it really is a huge, especially if you get a good return, because that penalty is from the spot of the foul. So like, if that foul happened where the guy basically caught the ball, and that foul happens right there, and the guy returns at 20 yards, that you're losing that 20-yard return plus the foul, so you're losing sometimes upwards of 40 yards of field position.
Right.
So those calls are big. They're tough. They're like holding calls on offense. You know, you go from, you know, what looks like a good gain on first and 10, and then all of a sudden you get a holding call, it's first and 20. You know, that's tough, and those are tough calls and hard to overcome.
Coach, you mentioned Tim Kelly a little bit ago. Yesterday has to be an interesting day for him because it's happened twice now, where he coaches against his brother. That's got to be a pretty weird instance where a lot of times you play against your brother or maybe coach against a coach, but he's literally – Tim is coaching against his brother Dennis, who is the sixth offensive lineman for the Titans. That's going to be a pretty interesting dynamic where one guy's a coach and one guy's a player, but they're brothers.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, we actually bust his chops about it, obviously, quite a bit. You know, his brother's a big, big guy, and Tim's a big guy.
Yeah.
But his brother's a lot bigger than Tim. His brother was a great basketball player, was offered a basketball scholarship at Indiana by Crean. Mm. You know, the guy was a great basketball player, yeah. So anyways, yeah, we always bust Tim's chops about that. But, you know, Dennis, I've never met Dennis, but he's a good player. He's a tough guy. And, you know, if he's related to Tim, he's okay with me because you know how I feel about Timmy Kelly. He's a great coach, a great young coach, going to be real good. So, but, yeah, it's got to be unique. It's probably a good question for him. You can maybe he can take one of my –
one of your spots
this week.
Maybe so.
And you can ask him that.
The Titans are not on the schedule anymore. It's the Niners. He doesn't have any brothers on the Niners, though, I don't think.
Well, you just mentioned.
Well, you can ask him to recollect what it was like, and then I don't have to come in there.
You just mentioned Tom Crean. He was at the Greenbrier following Belichick around, and so was Tony La Russa.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys that follow Belichick around.
Get one of those guys to follow you. We'll get them on the air.
Yeah, you got to win some. You win some Super Bowls, and people be following you.
San Francisco.
Then everybody follows you. At that point.
San Francisco, they've played teams that you have played, but you don't play them more than every 4 years in this league in the NFC. You saw them in the preseason prior to 2016. So how difficult is it to prepare for somebody like this?
Tough, yeah. You don't know too much about them because, like you said, you don't play them every year. Obviously, they're not in the division, and they're not even in your conference. So, yeah, it's tough. I think we've got to do a good job of studying them this week and, making sure that our players are prepared. That's the other tough thing is now you're into the late season here where you got a lot of guys that are banged up. So it's not like you're going to have a real physical practice week. You got to have a real good mental week,
right?
Get some good reps in there, and you got to have a good game plan put together for these guys, no doubt about it.
Does it look like Kyle Shanahan is running that old Mike Shanahan, Gary Kubiak stuff, but he's added to it with the Falcons stuff? What has he done here?
Yeah, he's doing a good job. I mean, you know, I know their record isn't what they probably want it to be, but he's building a foundation there. He's a great coach, great play caller, play designer. Mm-hmm. Does a good job. Did a good job with Jimmy yesterday against Chicago. Passing game, you know, same deal. Like you said, zone running game, a lot of bootlegs. Good in the play action game. So we've got our work cut out for us, no doubt about it.
Good to have at least seen Jimmy in training camp and in a preseason game to have at least some idea of what he can do as a quarterback. I mean, we see him on TV, but to at least have your guys faced him a little bit during the preseason?
Yeah, I think it's good. I mean, look, we don't – you know, he hasn't had a lot of playing time in San Francisco or even in New England, but at least we saw him for a few practices there in the Greenbrier, saw him in the game. So we can look at that tape. You know, it's not the same offense, but we can look at it and try to take something from it. But Jimmy's a good player. Jimmy's got a quick release, a very smart guy. Patriots thought very highly of him there. I know that. So it's going to be a tough matchup for us.
Coach, when it comes down to preparing for a game and you're preparing for scheme, but you're also preparing for the players you face, is it more up to you guys as coaching staff to share with the players what, like, an individual's player's tendencies might be? You know, hey, when he puts this hand down, it means this, or, you know, he really likes to do this. Or is that on the players to go in and study those individual matchups and go, okay, this guy I'm going to face, he does these things? Or is it kind of a collaborative effort, if you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I do. It's definitely collaborative. I think as the coach in the NFL, your job as a coach is to always don't waste the player's time. Give the players something that can help them play well so we can win the game. Like, don't go in there and say, hey, Tom, on ride 34, the mic is right. Like, we know that. We've known that for years and years and years. Give Tom something that he can look at relative to a blitz key or some type of tell. You know, we say, hey, here's a tell for this. You know, it's a cap of a safety over a nickel or some front that they usually like to blitz out of, or, you know, this leverage of this DB on a wide receiver. You know, try to give them some clues as to what might be coming based on what they see. You just use some stances on offensive linemen for defensive linemen to study. I think the coach has to point it out, and then it's up to the player to really put that to work in his own film study, no doubt about it.
All right, Amagi Bank of Texas, Ask Bill O'Brien question of the week, and this one pertains to your phone, Coach, and people you text during the week. Other coaches around the league or in college football or whatever, do you have sort of a society on digital where you guys sort of share – situations,
no.
Sympathy,
I wish.
Congratulations. No, it just doesn't
not
happen
really,
like that.
No. I mean, I text, but the reason why I'm looking at it now is my wife is trying to tell me that Michael has a basketball game tonight.
Oh, my gosh. Can you make that?
I don't think so. Not tonight. I got some 49ers to look at. I think Michael will get over it. But mostly it's my wife. I don't really text with coaches very much. I text with coaches on our staff.
Right.
You know, hey, if I think of something, and you know, or a lot of times I'm in my locker room office, so maybe shoot a text upstairs to Devlin or something about the running game, or Vrabel about something I'm seeing, you know. But
no,
I don't. I wish I did. Maybe I'll try to text them.
I know a lot of basketball coaches.
Coach Belichick a text, tonight.
Big group.
Coach Reed, Coach Marone, we'll get him in a group text.
All right,
AFC South coaching group text.
All right, and one more for you. This week is a big celebration of tailgating around here, as there's multiple tailgating competitions out in the lots and everything. Nice. And obviously, you don't have time to go out there, but they cook up some amazing stuff. What is your favorite tailgating food, if any? I know you probably haven't done a whole lot in your life because you've been busy coaching.
Yeah.
But ribs, brisket, sausage. What would Bill O'Brien want to go out and eat in the lots?
I mean, I haven't tailgated since I was a kid and going to games with my dad. But I would say I love those tailgates. Where, like you just said, where they set up the grill and there's a TV there and you've got other games going on. Maybe it's a late game that you're going to. Obviously, you got some ice cold beer floating around somewhere. It's probably a cigar, you know. That's probably my favorite tailgate. So, you know, maybe some steak tips, some barbecue, some cheeseburgers. Never turned out a hot dog. Something on the grill while you're watching a game that's going on before you go into this game. I think tailgating's awesome. I wish I could just kind of go out there and just maybe put a disguise on. I would love to tailgate. I'd be a hell of a tailgater.
How awesome would it be? Wait, I want to talk about this. Disguise at a tailgate.
Yes.
Would be fantastic.
Not now. Not now. This year would not be the year. Yeah.
There would be some people
We'll wait.
There would be some people that would want you at the tailgate. Because
everybody.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they would. Thanks, Johnny.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I'd like to live to see my kid's 13th birthday.
I'd provide some muscle for you. I'd go out there.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be in disguise, too, though.
Someday. We'll get the cameras rolling. Coach, thanks a lot. Good luck this week.
Thanks, guys.